Welcome to Women of
Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. Today I'm blessed enough to have the woman of many hats, as I just went to her website, and that is Carly Elizabethon, who's teaching me how to run a fairly productive podcast. I didn't realize I was going to get taught on my own podcast how to do a podcast, which is very nice to have a teacher come in and teach me a thing or two. So I am going to let Carly Elizabethon take it away, and I'm going to bring in. Welcome to Women of Wisdom, Carly. And my
Thank
first
you.
Question is, why? Why did you start all this? Why did you start the Woman of Many Hats? And why did you start in the OR? Why did you start consulting? Why did you start as a businesswoman? Why?
Well, for me, I think they're all interconnected. I think, especially as having been a producer in the entertainment industry and a lot of actual other things, working with companies and producing events and everything, as a producer, you have to wear multiple hats. You have to know the business end. You have to know how to engage with people. There's just so many layers to being someone that's a producer in many facets. And growing up, my life was always divided between the Western path, Western philosophies, ecologies, wellness, and business. And also, on the other side, was all my Eastern practices of philosophy, theologies, and conscious business, and finding the consciousness of self. So all those parallels brought me, simultaneously into the areas of business. And you have to understand, what a lot of people I don't think look at is, when you work with a client, if you don't look into other facets of who they are, you really can't get to really helping them in a way that would be most beneficial. Because the reality is, if I'm working with a client that wants me to flip their business to more profitability, or flip their business transitionally into maybe another arm or another product lane, if you will, of their company, right? If there's something going on at home, so that would be their personal life, or something going on, like in other words, divorce, their kids are having issues or something else like that, and this isn't a person's personal life, it's going to affect the outcomes that are happening in a person's business. No different than knowing what's going on with their staff. If you don't work with them as a self-development, in a self-development way, you're not going to be able to get the best outcomes for a client. You have to kind of problem solve within an organization and find out what everyone's strengths are, what everyone's weaknesses is. All that, to me, is mind, body, business, spirit. So when you get into those facets of business, which is self-development, it is transformation, however, doing it from a very non-woo-woo place, coming from a very practical place, and at the same time teaching it in a way that isn't woo-woo, because that really pushes people away that are in business. Now, if I'm obviously dealing with a client that is more metaphysically inclined, then I'm going to talk to them in a more metaphysical language, because that is one of the biggest things that people I see a lot that people don't do. They don't meet clients where they're at. They don't meet people where they're at. Now, there's what level of self-development are they at, and what are their faiths and beliefs? Do they lean more one way or the other way, or are they in the middle? So that's why I have multiple hats. And I've taken the time to continuously study about the multiple hats that I kind of play out in my world. And I'm continually educating myself in all those areas.
And that leads me to my next question. What made you go from the ICU to business consulting?
Well, I found that I was getting a little bit challenged for me in dealing with just metaphysical people that were tied in the old paradigm of, you can't be wealthy and make a difference. Meaning, if I'm wealthy, then that automatically connotates that I'm either greedy or I don't have a big heart, or all those things of there's this lack mentality, or whatever they have to give away. And it's a shame, because the reality is you can have both and. And the reality is that money only makes you more of what you already are. So if you're a person that already was someone that was very giving before you had money, and you have a core solid foundation of values, then you're going to be that type of person when you have more money. If before you had money, you were a squanderer, some people might use the word cheap, wasn't a mindset of giving, then when you have more money, you're just giving more of that. And so I really wanted to, and I have a very big business background and have the mindset of I'm extremely organized, I'm really good at running projects, and so I really wanted to focus on businesses and find a way to bridge. That's why my languaging is bridging the East and the West, is how do you bridge a culture of values, a culture of consciousness, and bring it to the business world. And so I kind of started, you know, going more into the business side. However, I still deal a lot with metaphysics on a daily basis. So it's not like it has gone away or that I don't use it, because I use those principles and the foundation of that every day with clients, whether they're business clients or more metaphysically inclined clients.
Man, your website is so organized, more organized than mine, more organized than most. Jeez, how would you say to my listeners, first of all, to organize their website?
Well, so I have three companies, and one of my companies, that's all we do, is we do websites, we do social media, we do marketing, we do website, and we brand. So we actually help people brand, and we do also do publishing. So from that perspective, the first thing, and again, when we're working with website people or people that need a new website or a brand or a logo or whatever, we sit with that person from a personal aspect and find out what their passions are, what their values are, and all these other questions that we ask to arrive at a website that speaks to who they are. And the thing I tell people over and over again is be sure you're working with someone who, A, has ethics, has values, and if you say, I need a website within a month, they're going to deliver it within a month. The biggest thing I can tell everybody about websites is please make sure your website is on WordPress. It's more professional. It's easy to run. Make sure that you own your own domains. If someone's working for you, when someone tells you, I can't give you your login, or they register the domains or however with themselves, make sure that you as a customer have access to your wherever. I would encourage everyone to get their own, either GoDaddy or HostGator, because they have 24-hour customer service. If you're going with some of the smaller firms, it's either email or text. And if you have someone hack your account, if you don't have 24-hour customer service, you're in a lot of trouble. So I would go with a higher-end host. Make sure that you own your domains and you register them. Do not give that to somebody else to do, because you want ownership of your domains and you want the login. The other thing is, like I said, WordPress. Make sure the reason why WordPress is it's professional, it's really good website. People know how to run website WordPress. And again, make sure they give you the login to your website. If you're a customer, you have the right to the login to these things. I just ran into a situation with a client the other day where the person set up their account, and it's like a one host thing where they put all their clients on one host, if you will. And they won't give the login out because they have all their other clients on the same login. You want access. It's your information. So organization is key. And the way you get that organization is working with a good professional team that, by the way, has their team organized. In other words, organization is key to any organization or team or website. You want the website definitely to be organized so people can find what they're looking for. If it's cluttered mess where there's just stuff all over the place and it's not labeled properly, they're not going to be able to find what they want. And my website is far from perfect. There's still things I'm continuously tweaking and moving just because as technology evolves, as I evolve, things change. And that's the other thing. I see a lot of websites or social media where people have very antiquated pictures of themselves, antiquated bios of themselves. They don't, and their website is really old. It's, you know, their plugins are outdated, their apps are outdated. We need to continually make sure that we, not only as a person and as a business, that our websites and social media also move along as we're developing.
Thank you. Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth, because 9 times out of 10, and I'll get back to this in a second, people don't understand how the iPhone works and how many people view websites mobilely nowadays. Jeez. Mm-hmm. of which they, the websites, have to keep up with the technology. And so what would be your biggest number one key thing if a person was only going to do one thing to their website? What would be your key suggestion that they do in the next couple of days?
So the key thing is, because the other one takes a little more time, I'm going to say two things. So the first thing is make sure your contact information, so your bio, your headshot, your email, your phone number, and the contact information is current, works, and is up to date. Nobody wants to see a picture of you from 10 years ago. So make sure your bio is current, because, again, things evolve. If someone sees a bio that's really old, they're not going to be interested. And I don't know how many times I've gone to social media, even like platforms like Facebook, and you look somebody up, and they have no phone number, and they don't have their email, and half the time they have websites that don't work. I am not going to do business with somebody if I go to someone's Facebook page or Twitter or Google, and in their informational stuff, it has no phone number and has a website link that is not working, and, again, an old, outdated picture. People only do business with people that have the things that work, and they're consistent, meaning whatever I put on my Facebook page is the same as I put on my Twitter, is the same I put on my Google, it's the same what's on my website. The second thing I would do right away is talk to your website developer, whoever's managing or hosting your website or who's doing your monthly update, or I don't know if you're doing it yourself. You make sure your website is mobile-friendly. As she said, especially now with the new, you know, the newer phones and the bigger phones like the iPhone 6 Plus, people can really now view things pretty amazingly on their phones. So
yes,
that would be the second thing, to immediately update your website to a mobile-friendly website.
And you guys, as Carly said, take a decent picture of yourself, and the iPhones are pretty phenomenal at the pictures they take. You don't necessarily have to get a professional picture unless you want one. I just took one for my podcast on iPhone, and it's perfectly fine for my podcast. But I have a more professional picture on my Twitter and on my Facebook. But for my podcast, I just took one on my iPhone, and it is phenomenal because of the cameras they have out now.
So, and the other thing I'm going to put out there is, when people are concerned about money for photo shoots, I encourage you to go to sites like Groupon, you know, G-R-O-U-P, coupon, you know, Groupon, and it's like O-N.com, so Groupon.com. You can get a professional photo shoot or, you know, for like under $100. I've seen some as low as $50, and then you're picking out like two or three pictures that you like, and they charge you, you know, I don't know, like $25 for the individual picture or something that's the best one. So look at sites like livingsocial.com, groupon.com. There's so many amazing, you know, sites out there that are doing really heavily discounted prices for things. I use Groupon, even though I don't care how much money you have, there's still a ton of places to use your money more efficiently. Yes, you could pay full price for things, and I'm not saying, you know, don't do that if that's what you choose to do, but I'm saying when people tell me they don't have money to do this or that, I encourage people to go on sites like Groupon and Living Social, because there are a ton of amazing deals on there. I've had a lot of clients use those because they didn't want to spend, you know, $200 or more for a professional photo shoot. Everybody's struggling economy-wise for business. So I encourage people to find solutions.
At my last big book signing, I had two friends with professional-esque cameras who did a great job at taking pictures of me and using professional cameras. So that's how I did it. But Carly's right in saying that to these Groupon, go to these Living Social, you would be amazed what you would find on Google, too.
Absolutely.
If it's not Groupon, if it's not Living Social. But as Coley and I have discussed, you need updated websites to work with the iPhone, because people are not going to do business with you if your website is not going to work or your website can't load on an iPhone. They don't have time to sit down and look at a website on a computer. They have time to sit down and look at a website on iPhone, but not on the computer per se.
Also, I think we need to remember with technology, people are moving at a faster rate. Things are, you know, like I said, like you said, they're searching on their phones more and more. And so you only have so many seconds to grab somebody. The more difficult you make it for people, the less they're going to stay on your site. The site has to be very easy for people to navigate, to find things, because if they have any frustration whatsoever, they're going to leave and you're going to lose them. It's the same thing with people make pick quotes for social media or for their website. And because everyone loves pick quotes. It's a big thing right now because it's a visual and it's got text in it. If you make them super fancy, they're going to go away. The text needs to be super clear and easy to read. If you're using fancy fonts on your pick quotes, people are going to tune out because they're harder to read. And you have to forget that some people have bifocals, some have trifocals, some have macular degeneration, some have cataracts. And I'm talking about it can be from 30 on up. And 30-year-olds on up is a huge demographic you're losing if you make your pick quotes complicated. They need to be easy to read.
Thank you. Thank you. I am sitting here for those who don't know me and who are new to this podcast. I have cerebral palsy, and I quietly, loudly mention that in my podcast, but I truly mention that in my book, I Win, which can be found on Amazon, I Come a Win, which is my autobiography. And the reason why I throw that in is because I can't read stuff without my glasses on, except for my iPhone. So if you make those pick quotes for me fancy, I'm 9 times out of 10, I won't be able to read them because I can't read a fancy font, a fancy handwriting for that matter, without my glasses on, or even with my glasses on, I still can't read it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's very much a shame. People are trying to do everything they can to entice their audience. Simple, people. Simple. Let's make it simple. Let's make it mobile-friendly because people don't have the time, as Coley said, to sit down at the computer and listen to a YouTube video and listen to a podcast. 9 times out of 10, they're probably listening to my podcast in archives on a walk or something. The way we need to make it simple, we need to make it easy. And what would you recommend for people who are just starting out, who are listening to this podcast, to make it simple and make it easy?
There's so many apps now you can put on your phone. Obviously, Blog Talk Radio has one. Another service is Spreaker, Spreaker. And I also advise people that are doing podcasts to put their podcast in more than one place. My shows, I have them loaded everywhere. I have it on Vimeo. I have it on YouTube. I have it on Spreaker. I have it on BTR. It's on iTunes Radio. The more outlets that you have your podcast and or your videos, the more they're going to be able to be heard. And because there's different apps on different types of phones, I also took my podcast and put it to the iTunes feed. So you really want your information out in as many places as possible, so that the different people that are on different phones, whether it be, you know, PC-based or Mac-based or Android or, you know, iOS-based, whichever platform they're on, it's easy for them to listen and or watch. So
that's a good point.
It's important. It's important to make it easy for people. Single platform has different reach.
I know my podcast does go into iTunes. I know that. And I know my other side of this podcast garden also goes into iTunes. But I now, you taught me another lesson, Chloe. I now have to research the other side of podcasting. Because I didn't realize
it's important.
That you should, well, now obviously I know that. I didn't realize that you should stick it everywhere. I thought iTunes was enough, but obviously not. Podcast interviewer is learning as she asked the interviewee questions. And see, I asked Chloe, I said, what was her favorite hat? So this is why I'm sticking with a consulting hat. And what is your favorite all-time consulting story that you can share on air with my listeners?
Well, actually, the biggest one that I've actually just recently, and it's actually dealing with the whole, for me, the language of underdog is so much, I don't know, for me it's more empowering than disabled population. I think a lot of people don't realize people with disabilities, there's all ranges of disabilities, and a lot of times someone will look at a disability or look at someone and go, oh, they're disabled, and on max is tune them out or not take them seriously enough that they are extremely intelligent or they have a thriving business or they just had something happen and it doesn't mean they're less than what they were before. They're just going through a challenging little phase. And so, and actually a really dear friend of mine that I just interviewed on my show, who actually is someone who was raising three boys that had HD and dyslexia and all that. And, you know, part of his consulting was actually helping other parent children with special needs. And he himself had always had, you know, he's just, you know, cancer survivor. He's been through a lot of things, and he's come out being someone that's positive, empowering, and still there to help other people. And he just found out that he had a generic, which explained a lot of his pain. He had a generic genetic disease where he's in constant pain all the time and now needs to get, you know, a motorized wheelchair, et cetera. And he still has the same brain. He's still a beautiful man. He's still beautiful. And he started a GoFundMe campaign. And it was very interesting to find the people that were like, how dare you ask us for money? You know, you're someone that actually has done really well. And you know, it's kind of interesting that people don't realize that when people go through a transition or a time of need, like this person helps so many people. And I think we forget that, let's say 4,000 people gave $10. And I think we're so stuck on numbers, like I have to give 50 or I have to give 100 or I have to give 25.
Yes.
You know, if 4,000 people even gave $1, you know, when you transition your house to being wheelchair friendly, you have to get a motorized chair and you have to get a van. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, nobody knows where someone is. They don't know unless they walk in someone's shoes. And I know I've dealt with a lot of people that have MS, so I understand your challenges as well. And I think underestimate the population.
Thank you for saying that, because I know a lot of people underestimate me and my team who's listening out there, and will listen to this show in archives, needs to understand this is what I want, this is how I want it, and this is how I'm going to get it. Because a lot of people underestimate me. They just
I think it's more than that. People like you are also empowering to other people because they get that no matter what challenge someone has, you can have a voice. You've written a book. You have a podcast. And I think just because we have a disability, I've had 32 surgeries in my life. I'm still working. You know, so I think We need more people like you and I and others to stand up, use our voices to say, you know what? Despite any challenges, I still have a positive mindset. I still am in a place where I do whatever I can to give back to society, whether it be through consulting or teaching or sharing my wisdom or whatever that is for you. For any individual, whatever that is for you, it's important that you follow that.
To make a correction on what Carly just said about me, I have not only written one book, I have written four books. Two of them are co-authored, and two of them made the Amazon bestseller list, co-authored books, contributed a chapter to anthologies, and I'm working on my gift book as we speak. So I wear a lot of hats, and so that's why I'm thinking that Coley and I would work together well, because she understands me, I understand her, and it's going to be a match made in heaven when we do work together, because she gets where I'm coming from. And I appreciate your wisdom, Coley, on the consulting hat, and I'm sorry that we didn't have enough time to go through the many hats of Coley here, but you guys can check out Coley Alisa Dawn. Her website is unbelievable. Organized to a T, even though she said she's still improving it, I believe it's organized to a T. And
well,
so
I appreciate that.
Where can people find you?
Well, if you just Google my name, Carly, and I'm going to spell the middle name, A-L-Y-S-S-A, Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E, you will find me everywhere. Google, Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, you know, anywhere you want to find me. Facebook, Twitter is everywhere. So CarlyLissaThorne.com, and my first name is spelled C-A-R-L-Y, so CarlyLissaThorne.com. And all you have to do is Google that, and you'll find me everywhere.
Carly is one of the best Twitters I know. She put this interview, as a matter of fact, on every Twitter known to man. I don't know how many Twitters you run now or told people, but my God, it's like when I got on Twitter this morning, I was shocked. And so I thank you for that. I don't know the magic behind the team, but I thank your team for helping me promote my show.
You're welcome. And one of the tools that we use is called Hootsuite. And Hootsuite, you're allowed to schedule. So I made sure they were going up a few minutes before, but then there was a little bit of a time issue. But it doesn't matter, because I know it's going to be aired, and it'll be able to, you know, people can watch it anytime. So it doesn't matter what time it's set up there. The point is that it'll still be there.
Yeah.
So
it will still be in archives. And again, you guys, you can listen to this show in iTunes and just look for Women of Wisdom, All Women of Wisdom, Google Women of Wisdom. You'll find me, you'll find Coley, you'll find everyone. And I appreciate the wisdom, Coley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I hope that was a valuable lesson to everyone, and I hope that you enjoyed Coley Alisa Dawn on Women of Wisdom. And as I said, I'm going to update my website as to Coley's suggestions. I take her suggestions to heart. I'm also going to try and pronounce everyone's names at the beginning and every show, and at the end of every show too, so you can hear what we talk about. And I hope you guys tune in to another fabulous episode. Thanks, you guys.